Right, hello church. My name's Nick, associate vicar here. Great to have you with us this morning. Well done for sticking with that reading. It's pretty long, but there's some great stuff in here. So let me pray and we'll dive in. Great God and Father, we thank you and praise you that these ancient stories contain modern wisdom because they show us you, our creator. Father, as we come to your word this morning, please meet with us. Lift our eyes beyond the things of this life. Please fix them on our Saviour Christ and the blessings that he richly lavishes on us, we pray. Amen. Now, look, one of the highlights of my job is that I get to regularly run courses where people who are interested in the Christian faith come along and ask their questions. I've been running courses like that for nearly 20 years now, and I've noticed that people's questions over time, they slightly change. So about 20 years ago, the big thing people wanted to ask over and over was, how can I know if this is true or not? But interestingly, these days, much more often, what people ask is, what difference does it make to your life? What difference does being a Christian make to your life? Now, I wonder, how would you answer that question? If you're here this morning and you're just looking into the Christian faith, what difference do you think it would make to this next week if you were to give your life to God? And for those of us here that would call ourselves Christians, as you look over the next 7 days, what difference, how would your life be different if you were not a Christian? What difference will it make to your next 7 days that you've got a relationship with the living God? See, here in our passage today, the family of Joseph, if you like, they've just been saved. Okay, they were starving in Canaan. Joseph has saved them and brought them to this new life in Egypt. They've just started this new life, so having been saved. And the big question is, well, what is that life going to be like? It's this big uncertainty. What is that life going to be like as the sort of saved people of God? And there's three things the family learn here that are true for Christians today. Three things they have that if you're trusting in Christ, you also have. Or that you could have if you were to turn to Christ. Three things. Number one, we have a Savior who richly blesses us. Number two, we have a blessing to pass on to others. And number three, we have a temporary home in this world. So that's where we're going. A Savior who richly blesses, a blessing to pass on, and a temporary home in this world. And they all revolve around the promised blessings of God. So if I had to boil this whole sermon down to one sentence so that you can forget the rest and ignore me, it would be this. Fix your eyes on the promised blessings of God. That's what you're being invited to do this morning. Fix your eyes on the promised blessings of God. So first thing we're going to see, let's dive in. We have a Savior who richly blesses us. Have a look down at verse 31 with me. Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and speak to Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and my father's household who were living in the land of Canaan have come to me. The men are shepherds, they tend livestock, and they brought along their flocks and herds and everything they own. When Pharaoh calls you in and asks what's your occupation, you should answer, your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did. Then you'll be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. Now look, just to appreciate what's going on here, you just need to realize this family are refugees. Right, they've just arrived in this brand new country. You've seen pictures of refugees on the news, lots of it recently. You know, they've got their bags on their backs and they're carrying their children in their arms. And they're in this country where they probably don't even speak the language. In other words, they're in danger. It's an unbelievably vulnerable situation to be in. They're in danger in various ways. You might have noticed there, end of verse 34, they are detested because they're shepherds. I don't know. We don't know why, but Egyptians, apparently ancient Egyptians, detested shepherds. There's ancient pictures with shepherds represented, and they're decrepit and they are dirty in the ancient Egyptian depictions. We don't know why, but they're detested. So maybe as the family walked into Egypt, they'd even seen the sneers on the faces of the people that lived there. I think they're in danger racially as well. You may remember what happened to Joseph 20 years before as he was enslaved. As he came to Egypt, he faced mistreatment and racism from Potiphar's wife, using racial slurs as she tried to get him in trouble. Maybe as this family walked into Egypt, they'd heard those racial slurs thrown at them. Also in danger, I think, spiritually. The whole way through Genesis, there's this big danger that God's people are going to be assimilated into the other cultures, that they're going to lose their distinctive belief that the blessing of God to the world that's coming through them would be lost. So they're in danger, spiritually speaking, as well. Just for a moment, imagine that you're a member of this family, okay? There you are. You've got the straps on your, or the bags on your back are cutting into your neck. You've got your kids in your arms crying for food. You've got hatred all around you. And you're thinking, what on earth is going to happen now? Are we going to be enslaved? Are we going to be forced into hard labor? With so much danger, what on earth is going to happen? And then, verse 31, your brother Joseph says, I will go in and speak to Pharaoh for you. I will go in and speak to Pharaoh for you. He gives them this sort of plan. And then chapter 47, verse 1, that's what he does. He goes in and speaks to Pharaoh on their behalf. Verses 2 to 4, he brings them before Pharaoh. And then they do what he said. And then 47, verse 5, look at what Joseph achieves on their behalf. Look at this. Pharaoh, imagine being one of the brothers and hearing this. Pharaoh said to Joseph, your father and your brothers have come to you. And the land of Egypt is open before you. Settle your father and brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen. And if you know any among them with special ability, put them in charge of my own livestock. Unbelievable blessings that they're receiving, and it all comes through Joseph. Imagine what it would feel like to hear those words. Not only are we going to be protected and have our own land, it's going to be the best land, and we get a royal commission to take care of Pharaoh's own stock. You know, on Robinson's squash, right, they've got that little seal of by appointment of His Majesty the King, the royal seal, the royal appointment. These guys get to be the Robinson squash of farmers in Egypt. Now, I just wonder if you were one of the brothers in that moment and you hear this news, this blessing coming through Joseph, how would you be feeling about your brother Joseph in that moment? See, I wonder if in that moment they thought back to their history with Joseph and they remember the time that they attacked him. What if they remember the feel of his coat in their hands as they ripped it off his back and pushed him into a pit? What if they remember the sound of his screams as he begged them not to sell him into slavery, and they did it anyway? And yet here he is, this brother that's been received, as it were, back from the dead, and he's ascended to the right hand of the most powerful king in the world. And now he's not only forgiven them for all of that, here he is richly blessing them. He brings them into the best part of the land with the best job they could possibly have. They have a savior who richly blesses them. Now look, in this new life that they're launching into in Egypt, that would change things, right? All this uncertainty around them. But they know, they have got a savior in Joseph who richly blesses them. That changes things, doesn't it? Now, what's that got to do with you and me here today? Well, look, in the New Testament, Christians have a Saviour who blesses us even more wonderfully than that. Right, Jesus Christ is the beloved Son who came back from the dead, who has ascended to the highest throne, and who now pours blessing into our lives, who treats us so much better than we deserve. Ephesians chapter 1 says this: God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. See, God, the blessings that God wants to pour into your life and my life, they're not land and cattle. It's spiritual blessings, forgiveness, the ability to call God Father, a future hope with Him forever, church family, His Spirit in our lives, spiritual blessings. But like these brothers, we have a Saviour who wants to pour blessing into our lives. And that changes things. If you are a Christian here today, every morning you can wake up this week, and whatever else is happening, whatever uncertainty is going on in your life, you can know you have a Saviour who treats you far better than you deserve. A Saviour who wants to pour rich spiritual blessings into your life. If you're anything like me, I think the problem is we can be so focused on things in this life that we don't have that we forget to look at and appreciate the rich spiritual blessings that we do. So easy to take for granted the blessings of God in Christ and fixate on any aspect of life that isn't as we would like it to be. Have you been doing that? I know I have. Well, like these brothers, we have a Saviour who richly blesses us. That changes things. That's the first thing we're going to see. Next thing we're going to see, we have a blessing to pass on to others. Have a look down at verse 7. We get this really interesting scene when Jacob, Joseph's father, is brought before Pharaoh. Have a look at this, verse 7. Then Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked him, "How old are you?" Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult. They do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers." Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. This is a fascinating moment. Okay, you've got to imagine the scene. Jacob is a penniless refugee, right? The leader of this family who's just arrived as refugees. And he is, imagine it, he is walked in to the throne room of the most powerful man in the most advanced society in the world. Okay? Penniless refugee standing before the throne of the most powerful king in the world. And yet, did you notice? Who blesses who? Look at verse 7. And look at verse 10. Who blesses who? Someone shout it out. Go on, be brave. Jacob. Jacob blesses Pharaoh. This penniless nobody from a backwater place is blessing the most powerful king in the world. Now, in the ancient world, blessing always goes from the greater to the lesser. So what is going on here? We've got this, in this moment, there's this clash of two different ways of seeing the world, of seeing it from a human perspective with all the money and the power and the privilege, or seeing it from God's perspective. See, Jacob might be penniless, but he knows that he carries with him the blessing of God. The knowledge of the Creator. God has promised through this family to bring his blessing to the world. Jacob knows that that is worth far more than any of the riches that Pharaoh has at his disposal. He has something much greater to offer Pharaoh. And it works, by the way. This blessing works. Through the whole second half of the chapter, Joseph brings Pharaoh all this unbelievable blessing through the Savior. So he brings him, verse 14, he brings him money. Then in verse 17, he brings all the livestock in the land. Then in verse 20, he brings the land itself to belong to Pharaoh. And the people sell themselves into this sort of serfdom. And they're delighted with the arrangement in verse 25 because Joseph has saved their lives. So through the Savior, all this blessing comes to Pharaoh. The blessing works. And as Jacob stands there in the throne room, he's not intimidated. Standing in front of the most powerful man in the world, he's not intimidated. Because he knows what Paul says in Corinthians, that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the strong. He knows that he might look very weak and maybe even foolish, but he has the blessing of God. He has something far more than this than anything else this world has to offer to Pharaoh. Now again, look, what does that mean for a Christian today? Well, the same thing is true. We have the blessing of God to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ is the one through whom the blessing of God can break into this world, can break into people's lives. And if you're a Christian, you have got that message to share, to pass on to other people. In worldly terms, we might not have much to offer anyone. We might look weak, we might look foolish, but you could stand before a king and offer them something far more precious than anything else they have. Can I ask, if you're a Christian, do you see yourself that way? Do you realize that in the gospel, you have a phenomenal blessing to pass on to others? Will you share it? Will it affect your actions and your conversations this week? Just want to flag up again that conference that was mentioned, Unashamed, Finding Confidence to Talk About Jesus. Will you come to this and learn more about how to share your faith? You have an unbelievable blessing to pass on to the people that you love. Come along and find out how to do that. We have a blessing to share. Final point. We have a temporary home. We have a temporary home. Have a look down at verse 27 with me of chapter 47 over the page. Now the Israelites settled in Egypt in the region of Goshen. They acquired property there and were fruitful and increased greatly in number. Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. Now just briefly there, notice, right, this is the easiest life has ever been for Jacob. Up to this point, he just said, life's been really hard. Now he's living in the best bit of the most advanced country. And yet, look at what he's longing for in verse 29. When the time drew near for Israel to die, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, if I found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you'll show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt. When I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried. Egypt seems to provide all he's ever wanted. And yet he is staking his hopes and the hopes of his family not on the affluence and comfort of Egypt, but on the promised land. That's where he wants to get back to. He knows that this home in Egypt is lovely, but it's not where he belongs. The way he described it when he was speaking to Pharaoh in verse 9 of 47, you may remember, he says, the years of my pilgrimage. He sees his life in Egypt as a temporary home. If you like, a bit like if you've been away on holiday and you come back and you pass through the lounge in the airport and you're there for, a couple of hours. You're just passing through on your way home. That is how he seems to think of his life in Egypt. He is just passing through. It's not where he belongs. Hebrews verse 11 says that he was longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And once again, the same idea is true of Christians today. You're trusting in Jesus Christ. This world, or this life now, is temporary. We too are longing, fixing our eyes on our true home, the heavenly country, when we get to be with Christ in the new creation. Our whole lives now, we are passing through the airports, heading home. I just wonder, does that affect the way that you think of your life? Just passing through on our way home. See, if you're passing through an airport lounge for a couple of hours and something bad happens, I don't know, your bag gets stolen. Yeah, that's rubbish. That hurts. That's rubbish. But it's just passing. I'm on my way home. Or likewise, if something good happens, if you get bumped up to the VIP lounge, well, that's great. But it doesn't define you. You're just passing through on my way home. Look, if this world, if this life is all there is, if it's temporary, then its joys give us reasons to be thankful, but they don't define us. Its sorrows give us reason to be sad, but they don't destroy us. Conversely, if our time here on earth is all there is, then comfort becomes everything. Why shouldn't I fixate on all the things I don't have? But if it's a temporary stopping place on our journey to the heavenly home, well, that changes things. Now, I've got to say, just briefly, I find this really hard. I moved to Crowborough a year ago, and I absolutely love it here. When mates ask me, what's life in Crowborough like? Honestly, this year I've said, mate, it's like the promised land. But it's not. It's temporary. I mean, I hope that like Jacob, I'd love to see out the rest of my life here and to die here. But even if that was the case, it's just temporary. I am just passing through my way to my heavenly home. Is that how you see your life in this world? So as God's people, final thought, as God's people settle in Egypt to this new life, their whole new life revolves around the promised blessings of God. They've got a Savior who richly blesses them, a blessing to pass on, and a temporary home. The invitation for you and I here today, will you fix your eyes on the promised blessings of God and not on the things of this life? If you're not a Christian here today, what is God calling you to do? He is calling you to repent, to turn to a life that revolves around him and his blessings and not the things of this world. If you are a Christian here today, this week, will you fix your eyes on Christ and the blessings that he wants to pour into your life and not the things of this world? Let's pray. Our great God and Father, we thank you and praise you for your word to us. Lord, you know how hard we find this, but we ask that you would lift our eyes this week to your promised blessings. Lord, we pray you would give us the courage to share the blessing of Christ with those around us. We pray you would help us see that this life now, we're just passing through. Amen.